welcome the online people because they are listening, and we try not to give too many things about the church that doesn't pertain to them. They want to hear the word and whatnot, and hopefully very shortly we will be videotaping our services. Get ready. Everyone just take a big deep breath. We're going to videotape our services and put them out on the website so people who are homebound can not only hear, but they can see. I just think it's important that we send the message not only to people that are not even in the church, but our own, our family. I just think it's important that they can turn on the computer and see what's going on and watch the church service. They can't make it in. I know people get ill and whatnot, and we have some people that are in the hospital, and we want you to continue to pray for them, that they're unable to come into God's house. And I just think it's important that we give them the message just like they were here. We're going to do our best to do that. It's starting to get a little complicated, but I think I've got the team to put it together. Thank you for your volunteering service, Nicole Myers. I appreciate that. and my daughter, who sits back there at the media table, and the others that are volunteering around the church, they're doing a great job. So how many really are prepared for Christmas? Are you ready? Come on. Thank you for those two hands. I appreciate that. Everybody says, I'm ready too. Okay, that's three hands, you know. But you know, what a busy time at Christmas. It is so busy. But I'm preaching a sermon series on the promises of Christmas. And there are so many promises that we give each other throughout the year. Some we follow through on, some we don't follow through on. And at Christmas, as I mentioned last week, it just seems like that's the season where we promise the most, especially going through the season, getting into the new year, and we do the big promise. I promise I'm going to go to the gym. I promise I'm going to lose weight, right? All those big promises we make to each other and ourselves. I'm going to promise to do these things. But I talked to you last week about some research that came out and what the world says are the big things that we want in our personal lives, especially around Christmas time. And last week we talked about happiness. If you were here, we talked about happiness and God's promise of happiness. Today we're going to talk about God's promises of freedom. And it's kind of funny because the top two things that the people want more than anything else, as research dictates, is happiness and the freedom. Now, we sit in a country and live in a country that has the opportunity to be happy. We live in a country that's free. You would think that this would be a message during the, you know, Memorial Day or Independence Day type thing or whatnot. But, you know, freedom is about Christmas. True freedom is about Christmas and the birth of our son, Jesus Christ. And I go in the dictionary like I did last week, and I looked up the word freedom, and it says, at liberty rather than being confined. Okay, that's a physical freedom, right? No physical restraints. That's a physical freedom. But this is the one that kind of rattled me a little bit, that I started looking up into some, you know, biblical dictionaries like Vines or something, and it says, a person who is not enslaved, a person who is not bound, confined, regulated, or controlled. See, we look at that as a physical thing, but really, it's a spiritual thing as well, right? You could be bound, restrained physically, but we know many people that are bound, restrained, etc., spiritually, among other things that they may have in their life that holds them back. So I see the word liberty there, and I start looking for liberty. So I look up liberty in the Webster's Dictionary, and it says this, the power to do as one pleases. Now that really makes me pause. The power to do what one pleases to do. So I say, wow, that's got to have some country United States things, you know, tied to it. It's just got to have some. So I start looking back, and I came across this famous quote from John Patrick Henry, which I love, and I'm going to read it to you. Probably be on the back here in a second. It goes like this. John Patrick Henry, one of the founding fathers of our country, fighting for freedom, physical freedom. They would speak of spiritual freedom as well. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it. Almighty God, I know not what the course may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Give me freedom or kill me off. And he's speaking to Almighty God. Because unlike what we really understand today, many of us older people maybe understand it more than the younger crowd, our country was founded on freedom. Our country was founded on freedom. And the biggest freedom giver we celebrate in a few weeks, his birth. And then when I see the world studying these things of what's the biggest things that we want, and I see happiness and the second biggest things that people want in their life and ask for at Christmas is I just want to be happy and I just want my freedom. And I focus in on who gives you the happiness and who gives you the freedom. The Church of Jesus Christ has that answer. We hold in our palm the Redeemer, the freedom giver. We ask you to pass out cards that say you're invited because we understand as a church that we have the keys to the kingdom and the freedom giver. So we ask you to pass them out and invite people to build relationships with people. Why? To give them freedom. Freedom. And I see where John Patrick Henry talks about give me freedom or give me death. I want to be free. God founded this country. I want to be free. What's the biggest challenge that research tells us about getting our freedom or our liberty? Well, here's what it says. It says, to find your true freedom, you define your true purpose. The more I work on this sermon series, the more I see the carryover that's really the church and Christ that's the focal point. The world's kind of like figuring some things out that we have known for thousands of years. That we have known. And then they talk about the resource, the first step to find your freedom is using that true purpose. And how do you find that true purpose? You have to find out what you value. What's important to you? You'll find your purpose in life and be free if you just find out what you value the most and live that way. Church. Does this sound familiar? It's very familiar because it's the Bible, front to back. We as believers in the church understand. But here are some of the things that we say. I just picked a couple of my kids' sayings when they were growing up. They'd say, Dad, if I just had the freedom to do what I want. How many have heard that one? Come on. Dad, if I just had the freedom to do what I want. Dad, if I just had the freedom to come and go where I please, I'd be happy. If I could just buy what I want, if I could just do what I want, if you wouldn't put these physical restraints on me, I would be free. I would be happy. Now I get it. My kids have the key. They had it all figured out when they were 7, 8, 9, 10. My daughters, in fact, my daughter never did that, by the way. Just the other ones. Not her, just the other three. She never did that. She never said that. This thing about freedom. And I know I see it on your faces as I start this. You're always starting to think now, what does that mean in your life? Am I really free? Do I really feel like I'm free? The world says that's the second biggest thing we seek, especially during the holidays, behind happiness. Do I have that? Well, I have physical freedom, but do I have spiritual freedom? Am I doing the things I really want to do? Do I go? And then you start thinking. And then you start going through the litany of things. Well, my job keeps me this, and family's got me this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And we start making that list. And you actually say, I don't know if I'm as free as I want to be. So I was looking up the Patrick Henry quote, and I came across this one. I don't think this was on the screen behind you, but you'll get it. It goes like this. Freedom states that people are endowed by their creator with certain Yes, there, thank you. Rights. Among these is life, liberty, which is freedom, and the pursuit of what? Happiness. You know what? Wait a minute. Liberty, freedom, and happiness. Our founding fathers figured this out years ago. We have gotten off track, church. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. The world comes up with a study this recently that says these are the big things that you want. No kidding. They figured that out over 200 years ago. We didn't need this study to say that. And the church has known it for thousands of years. What's the problem, Pastor? The problem is I don't think we are holding on to that. And we're going to talk about that here today. I don't think we seek it like we should. During Christmas time, there's a promise from the Father that says, you will be free. Free from everything. Free from things that hold you back. Free, free, free. What exactly did God mean by that? We're going to talk about that. What exactly is this freedom? The freedom that we talk about is usually physical freedom. Country. I live in a free country. We talk about other physical freedom, you know, the physical restraints, confinement, regulation. But it goes so much deeper than that. And you start looking at the Word and you start diving in and you start realizing that the whole premise of God's Word is freedom. It's built on freedom, spiritual freedom. God promises freedom. So what, Pastor, does the Bible have to say about freedom? The first thing that God says about His promises of freedom is that, guess what? People are always looking for it, and people always will. And I had just gotten done researching some of the past things of Patrick Henry, and I get into some of the scriptural things that I'm going to share with you in a minute, and people are always looking for freedom. They always have. They always will. The Bible's full of it. We're always seeking to get ourselves away from something that confines us. Always. The people that are free want to stay free. The people that are not free in countries that are not free want to be free. Everybody wants to be free. Physically free, especially. People are always searching for it. Listen to what Billy Graham said about that. He says, a few chapters into the story of God's creation, humanity gave up its freedom by choosing to rebel against God. From that time forward, the perfect freedom God created in the Garden of Eden was gone, and the long-term effects of both physical and spiritual freedom left us. We're not alone. We're not free anymore. But we willingly gave it away. So I go, and Billy Graham talked about this, and I was so intrigued years and years ago. I can't say I've seen all his messages, but I certainly have seen my fair share. I grew up watching Billy Graham with my mom. I get up, and, you know, she had it on TV. I go to bed, she had it on TV. I said, I'm tired of this guy. Who is this guy? You know, but, you know, what a powerful word. We gave up the physical and the spiritual freedom. Back in the Old Testament, we see it all the time. God's people constantly gave up voluntarily their physical and spiritual freedom. You know stories in the Old Testament, right? Constantly, God's people just kind of give it. Why, Pastor? Why would they give it away? Spiritual disobedience. And then God would go and send them a lifeline and say, come on back. They would redeem themselves. They would come back to God apologetically. God would forgive them. God would restore them. And then at some point, some other army would come up against them, and they would just do the same thing all over again, right? Kind of back and forth type of thing, on and on. Pastor, that's exactly how we do it. So God had them enslaved for hundreds of years in Egypt. And God delivered them out of that. They got restored again. Delivered, free, right? The promise that God gave them, He delivered. And then they did it all over again. This sounds like me and you. This sounds like what I do. This sounds like what, you know, this is us all over. This is what we do. Have not we learned our lessons? You know, we're doing the same things over and over and over. And then we keep going back to God and say, God, you promised me freedom. And God says, I did. And what's it called today, church? Grace. It's called grace. It's called grace. And he gives us this huge promise. We have been looking for freedom forever. And we will look for freedom until the Lord returns. You and I, if you sit here today and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have freedom. Right? Physical enslavement that I talked about, physical restraint, lack of freedom physically does not lead to a spiritual death. It leads to physical confinement, pain and suffering, but it doesn't lead to a spiritual death. You can be held, but you can't suffer a spiritual death. Only separation from your Creator can lead to that. And that's what I really want to focus on today, because the promise of the Father, at Christmas time especially, that promise is you'll be free. But many things actually limit our freedom, right? We can think about those things in our head that you think that they limit our freedom, both physically and spiritually. What's the second thing that God says about his promise of freedom? God's promise for freedom has always been through Jesus Christ. See, there's no other way during the Christmas time that we could get free unless we go through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we have that entrance way to spiritual freedom. We have that ability to get there. Jesus himself announced in God's word that he was the freedom redeemer, freedom giver. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, 17 through 21. It reads like this, should be on the back. It says, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Jesus at the synagogue, comes into town, sits down, starts to teach, goes over to the synagogue, says, sits down there, and they hand him the scroll. This is where we're at. He unrolled the scroll. Of course, Isaiah wrote way, way long ago, right? He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. So he's thumbing his way through. He finds the place he wants to read. At that moment, at that time, that was foretold a whole lot of years earlier, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom, liberty to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set freedom, liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scriptures have been fulfilled. I came to give you freedom. What he wrote about so many years earlier, and I just read to you, the freedom redeemer, the freedom giver is me, he says. There's nothing else. There's nowhere else. The world can't give it to you. Nobody can give it to you. They can't write a check to you for it. They can't ask you to give you a new car for it. They can't give you some drugs for it. You may think it is, but that is not it. The freedom redeemer, the freedom giver is Jesus. There is no other. And Jesus himself in the scriptures read it aloud in the synagogue and said, listen, it's me. It's me. And they still didn't believe. They still didn't get it. The question I had for that scripture is, couldn't Jesus have just recited it without opening it, reading it? I don't know if he really read it. It says he read it, I get it. But I think he knew it by heart, right? What was the effect of opening up the scroll? Because they knew it was from years and years and years earlier. He says, it's me. I'm the freedom giver. I'm the freedom giver. What's the third thing that God says about his promise of freedom? Not only did he send Jesus, that we celebrate during Christmas. But here he comes and he says, Jesus will deliver anything that keeps us from being free. See, not only does he bring freedom with him, he brings the power to give us freedom back and keep those things that enslave us from being in our lives any longer. Hold on, church, hold on. That's the core message of the gospel, right? That's the core. Jesus came to save us from ourselves. He came to rescue us from slavery of sin. He offers true freedom from this life into the next. Here's the famous scripture that many of you will read today and see behind the goalpost when they kick the extra point and they kick the field goal. For some of your teams, don't get to do that too often, like mine. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that who should ever believe in him, right? Should not perish, but have everlasting freedom. That's what it means. Forever and ever. Forever. John 8 through 34 through 36 says it like this, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who practices sin is a slave to it and has no freedom. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. Freedom is always available, that means. Freedom is always available. We choose to separate ourselves from it. So if the Son sets you free, church, you're free. If the Son sets you free, you're free. So what's the fourth thing that God says about his promise of freedom? The fourth thing he says, he gives us freedom. He is the freedom giver, right? He is the freedom redeemer. But he allows you to make your own choice to be free. Now, listen. If someone comes up to you, church, and says to you during this Christmas season, no, let's go after Christmas season. Let's go January. Someone walks up to you and say, I want to pay off every debt you have and give you financial freedom. Robin says, yeah. Lord, send us that person. How many here would accept? Oh, of course. You better raise your hand, lady. You know. How many would accept the freedom if they came up to you and say, I'm just going to give you this great job. It's a great job. It pays you three times as much. It's better location. Who's going to deny me? I'm going to give. Who would deny any gift that someone would give you? That you would say in your life, I'm free. I'm free from that financial burden. Who would hear would not accept the freedom of health? Is there anybody that would not accept God's freedom of health? No. No, of course not. But why is it that we do not accept the choice for all those things? God's plan in your finances is different than the world's. God's plan for your health is different than the world's. God's plan for your future is different than the world's. God's plan for your life is different than the world's. God's plan is completely different than what the other plans are. But we have been given this opportunity by God, by this free gift of choice that God says, I'm here, I'm the freedom giver, I'm the freedom redeemer, but you don't have to accept to be free. That's another gift of freedom. Church, do you see it in the scripture? Not only did he give us the gift, the redeemer, he gives you the freedom to accept it or not. That's just almost crazy. It's almost crazy thinking and logic. I give you all this stuff, but you don't have to take it. I could pay off all your debts, but you don't have to do it. But we do. But he comes and he says, I'm still going to give you the freedom redeemer, the freedom giver, and you're going to be free if you accept him, and you still don't have to do it. Even though you've got witness after witness after witness throughout the community and the country and the world that has accepted this free gift and lives free, we still don't accept it. we still say, I don't want it.
That's logic I don't understand.
You know, you go to court, and you always have to have a witness, right? Not a witness, you don't have much of a case. We ask to accept Jesus Christ as Savior for freedom, and there are millions and millions of witnesses to what happens when you do that. And we still don't accept the free gift of freedom. Kind of makes you wonder, right? God gives us the freedom to say no. We don't have to accept his free offer. And listen to this. This is just amazing. And if you do accept the free offer to be free, church, you do not have to follow the rules. You don't have to follow the rules. You're not forced to obey it. I'm telling you, that's freedom. You make the choice whether you want to accept the free gift. You don't have to follow the rules to keep the free gift. It's still your choice to be free. See, that's a big freedom. Because I don't know of any other freedom that does that. If you could name one, I'd like to know. I don't know of any. Because every freedom I know given by the world comes with strings attached. Every freedom that I know that comes to pay off my debts or do something or that says I'm going to give you freedom comes with some type of caveat that says accept here. That's why everything that we sign always has fine print at the bottom that you cannot read. That's why the commercials on TV at the end of this great offer, they go boom, thanks, see ya. Right? How many have heard those? You can't even understand the words at the end. Why? Because that's not free. That is not free. We don't even have to be, we're not forced to obey God's freedom. Now, I'm not talking about consequences for not obeying. I'm just saying to you this morning, talking about the promises of freedom, we don't have to obey. So the freedom giver, the freedom redeemer gives us something. We accept it. We say, great. We get rewarded for it. We have all this stuff, but we don't have to obey the rules if we don't want to. That's crazy. And Paul explains this to us in 1 Corinthians 6:12, and it goes like this. I am allowed to do all things. Why? Because you have freedom. But not all things, not everything is good for me to do. But I can do them. Even if I'm free to do these things, I will not do them if I think it would be hard for me to stop when I should stop. I know you're looking at things. Is that really in there, Pastor? Yeah, that's in there. You go home today and look it up. It's there, just like I read it. All these things, all these free things, they might not be really great for me, even though I can go get them. And God puts those parameters on our lives and says, this is good, this is not, this is good, but he still doesn't force us to obey all the rules. But he tells us, Paul writes and says, you know, it might not be so good of a thing for you to do all this stuff. It might not be good for you. But you can still do it if you like. But just remember, there may be a fallout. There may be some consequences there, right? And after all that I just talked to you about, everything that I just listed in the scripture, God comes forward in his word and he says, but it's still my desire that you be free. I promise. It's still my desire. In fact, the Bible says you are predestined to be free. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called, predestined to be free. Always, forever and ever. God sets up his word and he speaks it and he says, my plan for your life at all times has been just to be free. And he writes it in the scripture. You were called to be free. And then Galatians 5:1 says it like this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, I could stop there and preach another 4 weeks on just that few words. I'm going to read it again because I want us to really get it this morning. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The reason he's the freedom giver to come and do all the things that he has suffered and done for us, the reason there's a promise of freedom in the word is for one reason. No other reason. So you and I are free from every captivity, everything that holds us back, that we can enjoy life on earth and eternity because we accepted the gift of freedom. It's a crazy promise. It's a crazy promise. I don't understand it sometimes. It's a crazy promise. I ask myself, God, why did you do it this way? We're studying faith on Wednesday night. Come Wednesday night. You'll get some deep faith lessons. I ask myself, why did God do it this way? Why? What's the purpose? Come on, you have said that. Isn't there an easier way to have done it? Couldn't we have done it differently? It just seems like, no. Predestined to be free. Then it says in Psalms 119, here's what we say. If we get all this stuff, the scripture says, okay, I'll seek freedom. I'll go get it. I'm going to go get it. That's something of value. It's kind of funny. You're in church. Big, small church. You talk about taking away debts and stuff and all this stuff, and you give a message on freedom. You wonder sometimes how many people really are free. Here's what I think. I don't think we're as free as we want to be free. Because we allow the finances to hold us and enslave us. We allow many things to hold us back from being what we would truly say is spiritual freedom. I sat in a meeting not too long ago, and the pastor says that the question was to him. It was a pastor's meeting. One of the leaders asked him, well, what do you think freedom is? Who do you truly think your people are discipled to Jesus Christ? He says, I can tell when they're disciples to Jesus Christ. We're all like, tell us. All pastors. He says, when I see servanthood of my people and I see biblical giving, I know they're free. I wrote that down. I said, brother, that's discipleship of Jesus Christ. He says, exactly. That makes them free. It's a powerful word. And I said, you know, brother, I don't think people want to hear that. He says, they don't, because they're not free. Pretty powerful word. I'm going to ask our music team to come up to the platform right now as we wrap this up. You know, the goal of a pastor is for his entire congregation to be free. That's the whole goal. That's why we do what we do. That's why we're called to pastor. We want our people to be free. Not only the ones that are here in our congregation, but after they have experienced freedom, we want them to go out and get other people to be free. And the biggest promise at Christmas is freedom. And we celebrate freedom on the 25th of this month because Jesus Christ is freedom. Right? I'm not saying you still don't have trials and tribulations. I'm just saying I am spiritually free today. I hope you are as well. Because if somebody wants to hand over something to you and give you something to get free from, there seems like there's always some type of strings attached. At 9 years old, I walked up to an altar in church without my mom, who was my rock, because I wanted to be free. And I was nine. But I wanted freedom. And I grew up dirt poor. It was nothing about money or anything because I didn't understand I was poor. I had no idea that we were as poor as we were poor. I just knew that if I got to that altar, I believe what that minister was preaching, that if I got there and accepted Christ as Savior, I would be free at 9 years old. And so I did that. Guess what, church? I was free. It was an amazing spiritual transformation for a kid at 9 years old. I can't say that when I started walking up there that I believed it. I can't say that I really understood it, but I was told and taught I didn't have to really understand everything. I just had to walk in faith. So I said, okay, 9 years old, I'll go walk in faith. And even in my high school years when I walked away from it, I walked away from freedom by my choice, which was my choice that I was given to do, that I just spoke about. And then I had the choice to come back. Thank you, Lord God, that I did, or I would not be free. So the great blessings that we should be celebrating today is our freedom. And Jesus Christ makes you free. Just as freedom is the heritage of our physical birth to this country, freedom is the heritage of my new birth spiritually. God's greatest desire for all of us is to be free. That is the goal. Psalms 33:12 says it like this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. What is inheritance? I'm going to tell you what inheritance is. Inheritance is freedom. That's what it means. It's free. You inherited it for nothing. It's the gift of freedom. Here's what some of us do. Your pastor is guilty of this. We accept this inheritance of freedom, but we hold on to lots of stuff that we had when we were enslaved. We don't release it, even though we have freedom. I hold on to that stuff. God doesn't hold on. I hold on to this stuff. God doesn't hold on to that stuff. I hold on to bad behaviors, bad this. I hold on to that stuff. I hold on to that anxiety. I hold on to that stress. I hold on to this, and I hold on. God gives me freedom to walk away. What that means, church, is I've got to change. Well, I changed spiritually when I accepted the freedom, but guess what? I'm still a natural person created by my Creator, and I still have choice to obey. So I got to change the way I used to do it, to do it differently, because guess what? I was doing it wrong. That's why I needed to be free. And so if I don't change those behaviors to do something different, I will never experience true freedom. I will accept the gift of being free. I will accept the rules of being free, but I'll still live back here with this other stuff because I don't want to give it up, whatever that may be. And I've lived there. And I bet you if we're all honest with each other, we've lived there as well, and many of us could be still living there. I can't give up this pastor. I can't give this up. I can't give up this over here. I can't give up that. Whatever that may be, I can't give that away. That's human behavior. Get rid of that stuff, right? Just like I did last week, church, with happiness, I am going to give you the opportunity this morning to be free. I'm going to give you the greatest gift at Christmas you could ever ask for. A change. A change. And I'm not going to ask you just to raise your hands today, so I'm going to let you know ahead of time. I'm going to ask you to come forward. Because the Bible says a public confession. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to be free. And if you're already free, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get rid of some things in your life that you don't need any longer, whatever they may be. We've got great altar workers here in this church, trained people. It's going to pray with you in a couple of minutes. But I'm going to lead you through a prayer. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and then right when we're done, I'm going to ask those that raised your hand to come forward, because I've got something for you that's going to change your life, and it is the God I serve. I am no perfect person by any stretch of the imagination, but guess what? I am spiritually free today. So bow your hearts, bow your heads. Last week I told you that the Bible speaks of today is the day of salvation in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to go through these points here. I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3. Church, when I get on to 3, if you are here to accept freedom today, if something's going on in your life that is not the way you want it to go and you want to get free from being bound, if you want the great promise from the Father of freedom, you're going to leave here today with it. So one, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. There is no guarantees. As I have mentioned last week, I've mentioned before, pastors mention all the time. Pastor, I hear this kind of thing all the time. Guess what? You will hear that one time for the last time. There will come a day in all of our lives that we will hear the message speak to us last time. The last opportunity. Someone could be sitting in this congregation today that will hear this from Pastor Rad the last time. God forbid, but it could be. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Two, the Bible says no one knows the hour or the day of Christ's return. I preach a message. We may not get to the 25th to be free on the 25th. If that's what you're waiting for, church, I'm giving you the opportunity today to be free. I am free. If you want to be free like me, three, raise your hand so I can pray with you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Once you put your hands up, you can put your hands down. Let's pray together. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, you saw the hands that were raised. They want to be free. Lord God, by that raising of the hand, the Bible says to us that you see the hand, you see the heart. You judge the heart. You know the heart. So, Lord God, I pray that their heart is right and they have accepted you to live a life for Jesus Christ. And, Lord God, I pray that you convict them to take the human behaviors that keep them from being free out of their lives, whatever they may be, whatever enslaves them, holds them, restrains them, keeps them, pulls them back, owns them. Lord God, I ask that you remove it today in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Church, you're free. Somebody's got to get excited because you're free. You got to be excited. Stand with me today. It's a promise of the Father. It's a promise of happiness. It's a promise of freedom. If you raised your hand today, I want to pray over you further. I want you to come down front, and I just want to pray with you. I want to lay hands on you. I want to believe with you that today is the day that you are going to be free. We're going to sing here very shortly. You can consider yourself dismissed as we start to sing. We love you. Come back Wednesday. We'll see you next Sunday. But if you raise your hand, I want to see you. Let's go out on this song. Hallelujah.
Where the Spirit of